Today we come to the conclusion of the work of Jesus Christ on earth. But it's also the beginning of the work of the church. After the ascension, for 9 days, the apostles and the early Christians were brought together in prayer as they awaited the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But it was precisely because of this reason, because Christ was ascended into heaven, that the church would begin to continue the work of the Lord in a different way, in a perfect way, as guided by the Holy Spirit. The early Christians were, of course, accompanied, as this gospel tells us, with certain signs and wonders, but perhaps the greatest sign that is necessary is the sign of conversion, the sign of a new heart and a new spirit, that spirit of love. Not so much the things that we see in the gospel today, like the picking up serpents with hands, etc., but something far greater than that, the change of the human heart, of the world coming to know and to love Jesus Christ. At the beginning of creation, as we all know, God made us, human beings, in His own image. In that, God gave us the capacity to think, to know, to have ideas, to grow in wisdom, to grow in the knowledge of good things. God also gave us freedom so that without any coercion whatsoever, you and I could choose to do what is good, to make up our minds and to think, to be who God the Father created us to be. God loved us then, and He loves us still. Because He loves us, He has enabled us to love Him in return and also to love one another. And He enables us to love freely, using our thought, using our freedom to love rightly and correctly, to love and to do what is good, and to love and do what is true. And in that, to pursue grace and to pursue beauty, to lift up our hearts, to lift up our minds in prayer and adoration to the one who is all good, the one who is all knowing and all powerful, all beautiful and all loving. God and God alone is the source of grace. God and God alone is the source of truth. He is indeed the author and sustainer of life. For the people of Israel, for the people of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, God was completely separate and apart. He was completely other, absolutely distinct and separate, as I said. And the people of Israel, because of this distinctness and because of their relationship with the one true God, who was distinct from all other gods and goddesses worshipped by the pagan peoples, they would see themselves as separate from other nations, separate from other peoples, separate from other cultures, etc. Because, as I said, we have a distinct covenant with this one distinct God. Well, that was true for them. But keep in mind that the old law was a covenant basically of fear and of obedience, not necessarily of love or of mercy. But Christ would come and change all of that. Jesus embodies the covenant, the relationship between God and man in Himself. In Christ, the two come together and literally become one. He does this, as I said, by His body and blood. Christ Himself, as Son of the Eternal Father, is all good, is all-knowing and all-powerful. He is all-beautiful and all-loving. And Christ, as the Son of the Father, as the Word of God, and by His death and resurrection, is the source of grace and truth. And by His resurrection has become the giver and sustainer of eternal life. But for us who know Him as the Messiah, as the Savior, the Son of God is not completely other. He is not completely distinct. He is not completely separate from us. In fact, as the Scriptures said, He is indeed Emmanuel, God who is with us, God among us, God who is one of us. God who becomes one of us to restore the image that we lost long ago through sin, and to even restore the image that we continue to damage by our sinfulness today. We speak of Christ's incarnation, His coming among us as a man, as divine condescension. That's something negative, but that Jesus willingly strips himself of glory to become a weak human being, so that in his weakness he could actually sometimes even lose that beauty, lose his power, but never lose his grace and never lose truth. Today we celebrate the ascension of Christ into heaven. The opposite of that condescension, it's Christ's return in glory to the Father, going back to the Father's side 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. But what does that mean for us? It means, my brothers and sisters, and hear this well, that our human dignity has been raised up to an entirely new level, something it didn't have in the Old Covenant. We are no longer defined by sin as it was in the former days, but we are defined by grace. We are no longer simply apart from God, we are one with God. We have become, in very fact, his sons and daughters and brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. As I said, sin defines what we are not, but grace and holiness defines exactly what we are. The secular world that we live in doesn't understand this. Why? It doesn't understand grace. It has no knowledge of, and certainly does not want any knowledge, of anything supernatural. There is no supernatural dimension whatsoever. The world that we live in, as we know it, is dead. Dead in that it's devoid, by its very own will, of the Spirit of God, and cannot love. They cannot love rightly. It has no true knowledge, has no real goodness, has no real beauty, has no real power, no grace, no truth, no love, no mercy, nothing apart from God. And the further it moves away from God, it destroys everything that it once had that was once good. In the world that we live in, once you've been branded by it in some way, and usually in a negative way, then that's it. That's all you are, and that's all you ever will be. Here's an example. Even if you have the slightest accident with your vehicle, something very small, what happens? Your insurance rates go up, and it's kept on your record for years. The world does not forgive. If you happen to miss a note, a payment on a note, or you happen to miss a bill payment, your credit's damaged. And you have a hard time establishing good credit because of that. It's how the world thinks. Without Christ, without what Christ brings, the world becomes a very cold and very ugly place. But that's not reason for despair. Things can look up. And they do, if we decide to look up. We will not solve or change anything by looking around in curiosity or worry or wonder. We're not going to solve anything by looking down in hopelessness and despair. Instead, we have to lift up our eyes, lift up our hearts, lift up our minds to the one who is above all things, the one who calls us to live above our natural weaknesses and with him to live the supernatural life of grace. Grace builds on nature and makes us holy. Christ ascended into heaven, but he made the church, that is us, his body, that is his very presence here on earth. So through the sacraments, we're already joined to Christ, and he's promised us our place in heaven. And he's done this by his death and resurrection. He has restored our life and made us sons and daughters of God the Father, giving us back that divine image that we lost. And by his own preaching and by his example, Jesus has told us and shown us exactly what you and I must do. It's always about having faith and believing and putting our faith into practice, receiving and living out the graces of the sacraments that he gave us, going out into the world and being the presence of Christ by healing the sick, comforting the brokenhearted in the mourning, bringing life where there is death. As the prayer of St. Francis would put it, to bring light where there's darkness, to bring hope where there's despair, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to shelter the homeless, quite simply, to love God and to love one another. And in this, by the way, knowing that Christ has conquered the world, to fear nothing. Fear nothing. In holiness, turn away and destroy sin and destroy the effects of sin. Do not see yourselves as superior to anyone. Do not see yourselves as distinct and separate from other nations, other races, other cultures or languages, but instead to see what Christ has done and to do likewise. To go out into the entire world and by everything that we say and everything that we do, proclaim the good news that Christ has indeed overcome the world and that the kingdom of God is at hand.